Think about the aircraft that taught you to fly. For most of us, it was a Cessna 172. Maybe a Piper Cherokee, a Diamond DA-20, or a Beechcraft Skipper if your school was doing something a little different. These airplanes have been hauling student pilots around traffic patterns for decades. Some of them longer than the instructors flying them have been alive. Now Cirrus wants in on that business, and I do not use the word business casually. This is a calculated market move from one of the most commercially successful general aviation manufacturers of the last 30 years. I'm Tower on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about the Track 10. What Cirrus just announced, what it means for the flight training industry, and why a company that built its reputation selling personal aircraft to high net worth buyers has decided to engineer a dedicated trainer from the ground up. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about Cirrus. If you've followed general aviation at all over the past two decades, you know the arc. Cirrus Aircraft comes out of Duluth, Minnesota. They introduced the SR-20 in the late 1990s, and it changed what people expected from a personal aircraft. Composite airframe, glass cockpit from day one, and the Cirrus Airframe Parachute System, or CAPS, which gave pilots an emergency option that simply did not exist before in a certified fixed-wing single. Whether you love Cirrus or you have strong opinions about what kind of pilot you think they produce, the business result is undeniable. Cirrus became the best-selling piston aircraft line in the world for years running. Then they introduced the Vision Jet, a personal single-engine jet certified under Part 23, targeting the owner-flown market. And again, commercially it worked. Cirrus found buyers, lots of them. So where does a company go after you've dominated the personal aircraft market and sold jets to people who used to fly Bonanzas? You look downstream, you look at where pilots come from, and that brings us to the Track 10. According to reporting from AveWeb, Cirrus has introduced the Track 10 as a three-seat primary trainer, with U.S. deliveries slated to begin in 2027. The TRAC designation stands for Training and Rental Aircraft with CAPS, and that last word tells you exactly what Cirrus considers to be their differentiator in this market. Let's talk about that three-seat configuration for a moment, because it is genuinely unusual. Almost every primary trainer you'll find at an American flight school today puts two people in the airplane, instructor on one side, student on the other, the Cessna 172, while technically a four-seater is most commonly flown in that same two-up configuration and training. The Diamond DA-20 is purpose-built for two, the Piper Tomahawk, the Beechcraft Skipper, the older American aviation trainers, all two-seat. Cirrus chose three seats, and that choice is not aesthetic, it is operational. Here's what a third seat allows. A flight school can now put a Czech airman or a standardization instructor in the back seat during a student's lesson. Not in a simulator, not in a debrief in the actual aircraft. Watching the lesson unfold in real time from a position where they can observe both the student and the instructor. For schools trying to maintain training quality at scale, that is a meaningful capability. It also allows a school to offer introductory flights to a family member alongside the student, which matters for flight school marketing. And it gives schools more flexibility in how they structure stage checks and evaluations. Now, is a third seat going to make or break a flight school's decision to buy this airplane? Probably not by itself, but when Cirrus lists it as part of the design intent, they're signaling that they've talked to flight school operators, they've thought about how this aircraft actually gets used day to day, not just how it performs in a cruise climb configuration over a sales brochure. The CAPS system deserves attention here too, because it is genuinely part of the value proposition for a training fleet. Training aircraft get flown hard, they accumulate hours quickly, and they are operated by pilots, by definition, who are still learning. The accident record for primary training does not make for cheerful reading. Loss of control stall spin sequences during practice maneuvers, botched go-arounds. These are real risks in the training environment. Cirrus has built an argument for decades that a whole airframe parachute system reduces the severity of those outcomes. The data from CAPS deployments in the SR series supports that argument. People have walked away from situations that in a conventional aircraft would likely have been fatal. Putting that system into a dedicated trainer is a natural extension of the same philosophy. The question flight schools will ask is economic. CAPS adds cost, both in the initial purchase price and in maintenance. The system has to be inspected and repacked on a schedule. That is not a trivial expense when you're running a fleet of aircraft, with thin margins on each training hour. Cirrus will have to make a compelling case that the reduction in hull losses and the reduction in the catastrophic accidents that generate liability exposure and insurance rate increases more than offset those costs. That is not an argument they cannot make, but they will have to make it clearly to fleet buyers who are running spreadsheets. Now let's zoom out and think about the market Cirrus is entering, because this is where the business logic gets interesting. The United States has a pilot shortage that is not a future projection. It is a present reality. Regional airlines have been competing aggressively for newly certificated commercial pilots. That competition has rippled back down the pipeline. Flight schools are busier. Enrollment is up at many programs. And the aircraft those schools have been flying are getting older. The average age of the general aviation fleet is not a young fleet. Cessna 172s from the 1970s and 1980s are still doing touch-and-goes at airports all over the country. They fly fine, they are proven. They are also old. And the economics of maintaining an aging fleet while trying to grow a training operation is a constant headache for flight school owners. New trainers have come to market to address this. Diamond has been doing well with the DA-40 and the DA-20. Piper brought back interest in the Warrior and the Arrow. Textron Aviation has continued to sell new 172s, and 172s have kept selling because they are the Cessna 172 and the market knows them. But there is real appetite for modern, capable training aircraft that flight schools can put on a maintenance contract and fly hard without feeling like they are nursing aging systems. Cirrus sees that gap, and they have something most of the other manufacturers competing in this space do not have: brand recognition with the customers those flight schools are trying to produce. Every student who learns to fly with the goal of eventually moving into a Cirrus SR series or a Vision Jet is a student who, from day one, is flying the brand. There is a pipeline logic there. Train people in your ecosystem. Build brand loyalty early. Convert students into owners. This is not a new concept in aviation. Beechcraft ran a version of this argument for years. But Cirrus has the current market position to potentially execute it more effectively than anyone has in a long time. The 2027 delivery timeline is worth sitting with. That is not a near-term product launch. It is 18 months or more from when we're talking about this, which means flight schools making fleet decisions right now cannot bank on Track 10s arriving anytime soon. The first question any serious fleet buyer will ask is not about the airplane. It is about the delivery schedule, the production ramp, and whether Cirrus can build these at a price point that makes fleet acquisition viable. Cirrus has had supply chain challenges in recent years, as have most general aviation manufacturers coming out of the pandemic period. Scaling up production of a new model while maintaining delivery commitments on the SR series and the Vision Jet is not a trivial operational challenge. We don't know yet what pricing looks like for fleet customers. We don't know what the maintenance contract structure will look like. Those details will determine whether the Track 10 becomes a serious competitor in the training fleet market or an airplane that shows up in ones and twos at well-funded programs and stays there. There's a regulatory dimension to this as well. Any new training aircraft certified for use in Part 141 flight training programs has to go through a process with the Federal Aviation Administration to be approved as part of an approved training program. That process takes time. Schools can fly the airplane under Part 61 right away, but the structured Part 141 programs that produce most of the pipeline heading toward commercial certificates need the airplane on their approved aircraft list. Cirrus will be working through that in parallel with their production ramp. It is manageable, but it adds to the timeline before you see Track 10s appearing widely in structured training pipelines. Let's talk about what this means for the person listening right now, because that is always the question worth asking. If you are a student pilot or a pilot looking to build hours in the near term, the Track 10 does not change anything about the airplane. You will be flying this month or next year. The 172 and the DA-20 and the Piper Archer are still going to be the aircraft at your local flight school for the foreseeable future. What the Track 10 represents is a signal about where the training industry is heading. More modern glass, more integrated safety systems, a different philosophy about risk management. From the moment a student gets in an airplane for the first time, if you're a flight school owner or a chief flight instructor thinking about fleet renewal in the next 3 to 5 years, Cirrus just put themselves on your list of options to evaluate. That evaluation will include a conversation about purchase price versus operating cost versus what your customers expect to see when they walk in the door. If your school does a lot of Cirrus transition training or has a customer base that is Cirrus-oriented, the brand alignment has real value. If your school is producing commercial pilots for regional airlines and the goal is cheap, reliable hours in a dependable airframe, the calculus looks different. For those of us who fly for our own reasons outside of training, the Track 10 is an interesting data point about the health and ambition of the general aviation manufacturing sector. Cirrus did not have to build a trainer. They are financially successful enough that staying in their lane would have been fine. The fact that they are engineering a purpose-built training aircraft suggests they see a long-term business case, and they are willing to invest in building toward it. That kind of confidence from a manufacturer is generally a good sign for the industry. There are things we do not know yet. Specific engine and avionics configurations that are final pricing for fleet buyers versus individual purchase. The full maintenance profile and inspection intervals, what the insurance market is going to make of a new trainer from a manufacturer with a strong safety track record, but a system that still generates ongoing costs. Those details matter and they will emerge as the 2027 delivery date gets closer. What we do know is that Cirrus made a deliberate decision to put the Cirrus airframe parachute system in a training aircraft and market it directly to flight schools. That is a statement about what they think the future of primary training should look like. Whether the market agrees is a conversation that will play out over the next several years. AVWeb had the report, and I'd encourage you to read the full coverage for the latest details as they come in. You can find more aviation news and past segments at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower, stay ahead of the weather, and I'll see you next time on ATIS.